Pickaxe.
Hello and welcome to the Eurogamer Newscast, and this week we're discussing the biggest Xbox leak in history. We're looking ahead to the Switch 2's potential launch lineup. We're asking why there are so many industry layoffs, or at least that's what I would be saying. If you're listening to the Eurogamer Newscast, hello, I'm Tom, Eurogamer's editor and host of our weekly discussion podcast, where we break down the biggest gaming news stories and share insight from our news reporting team. Head to your favorite podcast app now to listen. Just search Eurogamer Newscast.
Episode 151 of the DNR Podcast is brought to you in part today by BattleBards.com. We've been going on and on about BattleBards. You should know about them by now. If you don't, they are a premier audio service that delivers high-quality sound clips, musicscapes, all kinds of different creature sounds, spell noises, anything you could need to enhance your RPG experience. If you're doing it from home, it is a fantastic way to kind of draw players in, bring them into the mood that you're trying to set. It's a great way to help out with that. If you go to their website and you use promo codes DNR1 to anything up to and including $25, you're going to get a free track. If you use the promo code DNR2 on anything $50 and beyond, you're going to get a bunch of different audio tracks. If you use the promo code DNR3 on anything $150 or more, you're going to get a whole damn album for free from them. It is a fantastic way to save a ton of money and really enhance your collection. It's a great way to build a library. They have a fantastic mixer where you can combine and layer tracks, a soundboard where you can set everything up in advance so that while you're doing your session, it's just a tap of a button away and it plays for the entire group. And again, it really enhances mood. I can't stress that enough. So go to BattleBards.com and check them out today. Episode 151 is also brought to you today by Brass Dog Games. It is a brand new game company. They are on Kickstarter right now, and their project Take a Penny is already funded. That is a great little game. It's fun and fast. We had a copy sent to us. It takes about 5 to 20 minutes to play. You can put it in your pocket and take it anywhere. And $6, guys. For just $6, you can find them on Kickstarter right now under Take a Penny or Brass Dog Games, or go to BrassDogGames.com. And follow their link from there, and you can secure a copy of the game right now. It's a great way to support some guys who are just getting started and get yourself a copy of a really fun game that you can just put in your pocket and take anywhere with you. So go to BrassDogGames.com right now and check them out, please. Let's do that thing where we go around the table and introduce ourselves. I'm Jason, I'm the Dungeon Master. Going around the table, start with Jamie.
Hi there, I'm Jamie. I play Corey Forestkeeper, a Goliath Seeker.
And Jasper.
This is Jasper. And I play Merrick Ethelred, Human Cleric.
And Eric.
Eric here, and I play Orton King Shield, Dwarven Knight.
And Bree.
Hi, my name's Brianna, and I play Phantos, the Gisrai Scion.
And Maxworth.
Hello, I'm Maxworth. I play Kaluna Vulgaris, Wilding Shaman.
I like how you knew it was coming and prepared.
I was like really excited. A little pencil, like at an orchestra, claps for you.
Thank you. I liked to imagine that I had a really big, bushy mustache that I was twirling, just like, mrr.
I believe once it gets that bushy, it's called a mustache.
Oh, pardon me, sir.
Guys, last time on the show, you were exploring this long-forgotten library, and you met up with Darmok, briefly, and promptly decided to get the fuck away from him, which might be a good idea, might not, we'll see, I don't know. You also started finding a lot of cryptic notes and clues as to what may have happened in this place, and the research into demons hadn't really started proper yet. At least some of you were calling them ghosts. That's still up for debate. So let's pick up exactly where we left off before. What would you guys like to do? What's the course of action?
I'm trying to imagine in this group, now that Jadzia's done, gone, who the researcher would be.
Right.
Because right. I don't feel like anyone here has the temperament for that.
That's why I didn't want to give anybody necessarily a bonus to it.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So, hear me out. Mm-hmm. So, books are made of these. Would it be possible to roll a nature check instead of whatever else?
So are houses, but that doesn't make you an architect.
Legit. That is so legit. I have never heard better bullshit in my life.
Jason, I don't know if you knew this, but Kaluna has built many houses in their day.
Finding the biggest leaf does not count.
The ship is made of trees. I'm an expert sailor now.
I know exactly how to work this machine.
But I'm just saying, Phantos is definitely the person in the back of the class who's drawing dicks in their math book.
You're anti-Jadzia.
Yes.
Kaluna would draw flowers in theirs.
Any true. Images she finds, like, immediately get mustaches. And if they have horns, now they have four horns.
Well, the crazy thing is, I would say almost everybody in the party is more street smart, let's call it, than book smart.
Right. This is a good point. There is nobody that would be like, yeah, let's look through books.
Right.
Nobody would hate it.
That is what we came here for, so it's not like the idea wouldn't occur to us. It's just we're not good at it.
But yeah, we're not waiting for the one person to sort of jump in while everybody else can go do something else. So. Right.
Man, we really took her for granted while she was here.
I know, it's true. Okay.
I mean, we used the Buffy analogy before, but you got no Giles. You're just all sitting there scrolling through books looking for pictures that might be relevant.
I prefer to think that she was Willow, but okay.
Well, okay, when it came to computer stuff, yes, not the book stuff. It was Giles who was the head researcher because he was a watcher, and that was what...
I want a Godzilla sound just to play every time you guys do that.
Yeah.
Well, Jason... I think Orton would be interested in getting his head around the layout, not necessarily diving deep into research, but we talked about how these books are all grouped by some fashion or another.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that he would start trying to create that map in his head of where rough groupings of things would be located.
Sure. Could you do me a favor and roll an intelligence check?
I believe I can do that.
Sweet. Then we'll see how quickly Orton puts the pieces together here. All right. Looking around the library, it's going to take a while because it's not, again, it's not labeled. There's no Dewey Decimal System. There's no like, oh, you want stack 39 in the back. It's just kind of, you know, parsed out. Like, this section looks like this is dedicated to demons, maybe a specific demon, and stories like that. But then you'll see a book slipped in that's about demons, but might pertain to specific stories, and that's kept in a separate. So it kind of takes a while. But eventually, Orton's going to figure out that there is definitely a section all about tieflings. There's a section that is just dedicated to the demon's relationship with gods and then demons themselves. You found like a little section, that related just to Valnor. And, there is a very small section, and Orton is going to, do me a favor, roll a perception check, Orton. Let's see if Orton picks up on this. Oh, okay. Yes. Orton is going to pick up on this. So far, in this entire library, and this is just Orton kind of going up and down the stacks, just looking, there are two books that appear to be a little different, and they're kind of kept by their lonesome, like it's an empty bookshelf and it's just sitting there.
Okay.
These two books are big, thick tomes, and if Orton were to pick it up, either one of them up, a lot of these pages are blank. Both of them are sort of these big, kind of deep blue, big, thick tomes, leather-bound, and they look a little different than a lot of these other books. A lot of them are almost like big journals, like handwritten. All this information is just as they're learning it. They're not necessarily published materials. But these look to be, there's a little more care taken. Like the calligraphy is like really nice. Like someone took a lot of time. There's nothing in the second book and the first book, just the first few pages are filled out. And this appears to be a first-hand account of what is in, you know, Theria's version of hell. Like, there is one account of someone supposedly making it out and seeing what's on that side and making it back.
Okay. Well, that's certainly interesting. Does it talk about how they got there in the first place? I guess I would actually be interested enough at this point to take the book back to the table that we've been kind of center pointing around and sit down and read this for a little bit.
Would this be something you'd bring up to the rest of the party, or just kind of going off on your own and checking it out?
I mean, I'm not sneaking around or doing anything, but I don't think Orton would broadcast.
Okay. So let me, while you're doing that, let me ask everybody else in the party, what would they be doing?
Kaluna's on ghost watch.
I think at this point, Merrick is probably doing something very similar to Ordin, where it's like, okay, we're here for a reason. I know there's some crazy shit going on, but, you know, like ghosts and whatever, but just going up and down the stacks. And maybe, I don't know if, I don't want to sort of retcon it, but maybe that's sort of the point at this point. Like, there's nothing else, nobody else knows what to do, so let's just kind of split up, but not go too far away from each other.
What about Corey?
I think Corey's probably doing the same thing, looking for books, but it's more hasty for her. She's getting a little impatient. They've, you know, been here for a little bit and they haven't come up with anything, and all this stuff keeps happening and there are no answers yet. So I would say that she's literally just going row through row, book by book, and sort of aggravatingly opening the book, seeing what it's about, not what she's looking for, throwing it on the floor, like not being quiet about it. She's
okay.
Upset.
Like, I know about trees, damn it. Why isn't this helping?
I studied trees for so long just for a situation like this. It's doing nothing for me.
Maybe I should have learned to read.
Hey.
What about Phantos?
Phantos would kind of be following behind Merrick, like 3 or 4 footsteps behind him, kind of looking at shelves. Whenever he stops, she'll stop and just, ooh, interesting, and like look at the shelf near her. Clearly not really caring about the books too much, though, because she'll like drag her fingers over them, sometimes lift one up, look inside, and then there's no pictures, so she'll just put it back. And I guess eventually, after doing that for a while and it's still quiet, she'll kind of speak up to Merrick. And she's kind of side-eyeing him the entire time, too. Probably not super subtle about the fact that she wants to talk, but then Merrick's busy, so he might not be picking up on it, and then she'll just get closer to him while he's looking at one of the books. You know, most githzerai would lose their shit in a place like this.
So Merrick's not gonna stop sort of looking through books, but he'll be interacting with Phantos. You know, he'll keep moving and sort of scanning and maybe running his hands over things and whatever. What do you mean exactly?
Phantos will kind of like mimicking you, but without any of the intent that you have, because she's not invested in the intellectual side of this. So like she's making the movements with her hands of looking at books, but just it's clear she's not actually reading them until she sees a picture, and then she's like, okay, so that's what this one's about, and then she'll still put it aside. You know, most of them are like huge academics and stuff like that.
Most of your people, you mean?
Yeah, like there's schools all over the place, and that's kind of all they really give a fuck about.
Oh, so you mean lose their shit, like enjoy it, not freak out.
Yeah. Like, you know, if someone were to fuck this place up, they'd be kind of pissed, and then she'll kind of look over the books again and then look down, like tap her hand on the bookshelf, like fuck, like, and then she'll just look back up. So, do you know who you're going to bring back?
The scroll, you mean? This is something that's not common. This isn't something that's done. So this isn't for just bringing back somebody willy-nilly. This actually probably belongs somewhere beyond my backpack. Maybe back at the Temple of Kor. Well, you don't even know what I'm talking about. But maybe this belongs somewhere more important. So no, I don't have anybody in particular, no. Why are you asking?
I mean, if you don't have anyone, can I have it?
Wait, you want... And he's going to be piecing it together a little bit. Okay. And I guess he would stop paying attention to the books and would probably turn directly. Actually, how tall is Phantos? compared to Merrick, I wonder?
Thantos is 5 foot two, I believe. It might be shorter. It might be 5 foot even.
Okay. I think Merrick is actually pretty, he's not short, but he's a little bit below average. So I don't think you would have to like bend down or anything. But he would be pretty focused now. Like he would stop thinking about the books and be like, okay, what happened? Something happened. What's this all about? And he's going to be very caring. Like this is very genuine from him. Like, okay, this is about you right now. Nothing else really matters. What's going on?
Thantos is going to kind of stiffen, like, God damn it, why do you always have to make it all emotional and shit? That's how she looks, like, fucking... And she's going to keep her eyes on the bookshelf. What does it matter? You don't have anyone, so why can't I just have it?
Do you know, I have dozens, if not hundreds of people that I could probably use this on that deserved it. I have a past, a history that I'm not particularly proud of. So I could use this and it would be warranted, but what's going on? What is this about? This isn't just about giving a scroll away. This is an important artifact. And I know you're trying to play it off pretty easy and like it's no big deal, but this is clearly a big deal for you. You can talk to me.
She'll kind of look up at Merrick, because I assume he is still taller than her. He's just not super taller than her. Her arms are kind of shaking a little bit, like she just does not know what to do in this situation. She actually thought it was going to be easy enough of just like, can I have it? Cool, thanks. You know what? Never mind. And then she's just going to turn and go back to the books.
He's going to gently and you know, a caring way, he's going to put his hand on her arm, like shoulder arm, and not force her to turn around, but just like, no, hey, come on. What's going on?
She is going to immediately pull away and kind of like smack your arm away and say, don't fucking touch me.
He'll do the hands up like, hey, I'm not trying to hurt anything. I'm just trying to care. If you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. Look, I know you know that this isn't just a thing that we found, that this is important. And I know you know what it does. So whatever's going on for you, I know it's incredibly important and incredibly valuable to you. You can't pretend. You don't have to tell me what it is now or later, but just know that there's somebody that will listen to you, okay?
She'll kind of like take a breath, but she looks incredibly frustrated, like lips kind of shaking a little bit, eyes lined almost with tears, but refusing, just flat out, fuck no, I'm not going to. And then she'll just bite her lower lip and nod quickly.
Okay. I'll never bring it up unless you do, okay? It's fine. And it's just between us, all right? Don't worry. But the truth is, and he's going to sort of motion to his backpack, this isn't really meant for us. This is something more important. We have to get this to the right people, to the right place. This is the kind of thing that isn't... This isn't a tiny thing, you know? But I do want to know what's happening for you, if you ever need to talk. And then he's just going to turn around and, like, that's it. Like, he's not even going to wait for a response or anything. And go right back to, very deliberately, just like he's going down the stacks again. And he's just going to try to show Thantos that it's, you know, it's on the back burner. He's not thinking about it. Which isn't true. He's totally thinking about it and very concerned and very worried and very, very, you know, heartfelt. Really, really cares.
Thantos is going to kind of just stay in place. Like she's not going to follow him like she had been before.
Let's jump back here to Orden. So during this whole thing, everyone's pretty much split up, but localized in one area here in the library, because as you've seen, there's some potentially dangerous stuff. Like, this is... There's probably a really good reason that the doors were barred. Orton is going to read through this story, which is apparently... It's someone being dictated. This believed to be wildly embellished story of someone who is completely insane. But something definitely happened to this person where there's some nugget of truth in there, they figured, so they jot it down anyway. And it looks like one of the researchers from this place was sent out to speak to this person a very long time ago. Now, the person they interviewed, their arm was torn off from the socket, basically. And they apparently received some sort of healing, at least so that they didn't bleed to death. Now, it's really unclear whether this person was let go intentionally or if they escaped somehow, but the things that they apparently saw, there's the descriptions of, from most people, it's like, oh, it's the, just constant hellfire and pits of demons and everything. This person kind of describes a cold void. And there are terrible abominations there, but it's probably not like the vision most people would have in their heads. There are demons there of all shapes and sizes, and everything from humongous winged creatures to the tiny little imps that you would see. And they all kind of have one thing in common, is that they are hideously malformed, and they pretty much only exist for pain and suffering. That appears to be their entire existence there. And this person was so irrevocably scarred from this that it was believed that they were just completely insane and were probably making most of it up. But that is what Orton is going to find in this book.
Okay. Well, that's certainly not not a pleasant find, but certainly interesting. I don't think he's going to focus on it for too long. I think once he's done, he's going to leave the book on the table, and he's trying to be more focused at this point. And so I think he's going to head over to that section. You mentioned that there were some books that dealt with gods and demon relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to head over there and see if he can find any references to Moradin at all.
Okay. So while Orton's doing that, what would Kaluna be doing?
Standing in the middle of the room, or sort of set in the middle of where everyone else is,
mm-hmm.
with Peg at their side, sort of like they have a nervous habit where when they're holding their totem, they sort of pet it with their thumb. So they're going to be doing that and just sort of on watch for any spooky ghosts popping up again.
Okay. Corey. Mm-hmm. Is Corey thumbing through these books really with any attention to detail, or is it more just a quick glance? Does this look like something that might pertain to me? If not, blech, and throw it away.
I'd say probably more the second one. She's looking for keywords, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So, but she's also going quickly because this is a humongous library, you know, who knows how long it's going to take for them to find what they're looking for.
Right. And just to let you know, hours are passing here. Like, you guys have been here for a while. Do me a favor, roll a perception check.
Okay. Are you sure not the paper made of trees thing?
The nature thing?
The shelves are made of trees, right?
The shelves are made of
That's
trees.
That's true. They're just... Nature's fucking everywhere. We're underground. We are in the earth right now.
If the dwarf didn't get a bonus. 28. Corey is going to pick up a book that is a little on the hefty side, and she's going to start thumbing through it. And there are a couple of keywords that are going to jump out. You know, God's seal. Blood moon, that type of thing. Like this one's gonna appear to like have a couple of the. It's like, oh wait, hold on. In the word cloud, in Corey's mind, like it's like, oh wait, that's okay. Hold on. And thumbing through this one, Corey's gonna find out some relevant information.
Okay.
While Corey's reading that, Thantos and Merrick just still looking through books.
For Merrick, definitely. He's just trying to do his part like everybody else is doing.
What about Thantos? just pretty much bored.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, no one's told her, hey, we're paying you to sit down and read a book. So she's kind of just wandering around, just bored and wishing that she had something better to do.
Here's a question. Is Thanto still within some close distance to Merrick? Like, I don't think Merrick would just leave her behind.
Yeah, like, she didn't run away or anything. Like, she's in the general area.
Okay. I was just wondering.
She's definitely moping.
Right. No, I can imagine. And I think, Merrick is, like, just...
On a related note, hey Merrick, what's your passive perception? Just curious. No reason.
God, I don't even know.
You can't ask that.
He can say no if he wants to.
I don't even know where to look for that. So it's not even a... I don't think it exists.
It's like 48 or so.
I don't even know what that is. Actually, I really don't know where that is. I'm looking.
Just add 10 to your perception.
Is that how it works?
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, 20... No, I'm not going to tell you.
Right, it's 20-something.
25.
I think she's going to steal it from you.
Why do these things always turn party members against each other? It's crazy.
So, does Merrick... If Merrick comes across a book that has artwork and, illustrations or something like that, he would put it on the floor and kick it or push it as far as he could, like, towards Thanto's, like, taking a beer down a bar, like,
he's giving the kid the picture book,
basically.
Do you have any crayons? She'll kind of give him a look, but then lean down and pick it up. And when she sees that it's kind of one of the more interesting books, in her opinion, because pictures, she'll go sit down kind of crisscross somewhere and just kind of flip through it.
That's all.
Do me a favor, Merrick. Give me a perception roll.
33.
Holy shit. Merrick is definitely going to find something.
Sweet.
Again... it's like, okay, we're looking for this and this. You are also going to find one with specific, the gods. There's something about the seal in there. There's a little something in there about a ritual. Now, you are going to be reading that. I would say during this entire thing, Corey is still kind of pouring through the book that she had picked up. And what Corey's going to end up finding out is that on the continent of Kian, which is the northernmost continent on Theria, the seal that's been talked about now a few times by the witch, and then you're going to find mentions of it in this book, acts sort of like a stopper. It was designed as a focal point for the gods to actually trap the demons. That's what keeps them where they are. And the demons themselves... In every mention in these books, and there are dates and things, and eventually there are no dates. It's before recorded time in Theria. There are mentions of events and things like that. That was way, way before Theria had kind of a unified calendar. Different races had different ways of tracking time, but eventually the elves kind of got everybody together and was like, all right, we need to kind of focus up here. Here's what we're going to be using. And eventually it was kind of adopted by everyone. The demons have always been here, apparently. There is no story, no matter what time or date you pick up in any of these books, where the demons aren't mentioned in some capacity. And that seal is the one thing right now standing between the demons, their homeland, and the surface world where you guys are. Merrick, you're going to be reading that... you're going to be reading your book while Corey finds that in another. Would Corey kind of tell the rest of the party about that, or just kind of continue looking?
I think as soon as she realizes that she's got something, she would probably call everybody over to share. But that's after she's done reading right through it.
So the rest of the party, hearing Corey call out and then probably breaking this down to everyone, what would the reaction be?
Okay, first of all, I mentioned this in the chat, but I think I should get a roll to see if Santa's found something really important in that coloring book.
Okay, it's not a coloring book. It's an
important tome of knowledge, but sure.
Hold on, are there colors in it, Jason?
Well, I mean, like...
Are the images black and white, or are they colored?
I mean, like, there's some color, like, usually like a red or something like that, just to illustrate
Of course it's red.
Blood.
It's a coloring book. It's a coloring book.
Adult coloring books are all the rage, so...
They are all the rage. I saw Anna posted about it, and I was like, I know.
She's in a cult.
Anyway, do I get my roll?
Yeah, you know what? I'll give you a roll. Go ahead.
Right. What do I roll? Just flat, or...
Give me an intelligence check.
Okay. Intelligence?
Uh-huh.
Just base intelligence. Just check.
Base intelligence. Okay.
Wow, my intelligence is really high for someone who's stupid.
Jesus Christ!
Wow.
Guys, is how the Eldarin locked away the gods important? I drew a pony.
Hold that thought.
Okay. I got a crit, by the way, for people at home.
Oh my. Okay. So, Corey's book goes on to detail essentially that the, you know, what the seal was intended for, that there was this huge ritual based around it, and the gods, particularly Vecna, was the one who was supposed to keep watch over that seal and make sure no one fucked with it. Merrick's book is going to go into detail about the ritual that can be done to unseal. It is widely believed that the instructions for this are in short supply. Like, this may be the only recorded, you know, instruction book on how to do this. Like, and this is... There is some emergency provision where this would be necessary or whatever, but that would require a lot of research as to why anybody would want to go do this, any rational, sane-thinking person. But do you remember when the witch was talking about the blood moon and how there wasn't much time left and how it's kind of a countdown?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the blood moon rolls around every 30 years, and it is essentially a one-night, kind of a one-night eclipse type of thing. On that night, with, you know, the right person, you know, the right amount of energy, and some blood, that seal can be opened. Thantos.
Yes, sir. I'm really proud of this. I can't.
This is actually really fucking funny, because I'm gonna live with you guys. I didn't plan on anybody really finding this, but she rolled a fucking crit, and I can't not.
No. I like it, so it's the one book that Merrick was like, okay, I don't need this one.
This one's garbage. Here you go.
This book is more of a book of kind of like the one that Orden found, where it's like, this guy's crazy, but he's talking about demons, so I gotta write this down. It is rumored, and no one's ever been able to prove it. No one's ever been able to show concrete evidence, but it is rumored that the Eladrin, for some reason, tapped into this seal's power to seal away the demons and use that to trap the gods. Now, this was done a very, very long time ago, and it's one of those things that is such a... It's such a baseless accusation to make without any proof that it's hugely slanderous to a group of people. So it's kind of something that's you don't hear people really talk about it ever. And, you know, outside of this book, it's one of those things that's kind of forgotten to time. But yeah, that Thantos is going to find that written in this book.
Surely there's a huge, wonderful, beautiful and like
very descriptive illustration.
No, I mean, super like amazing illustration. That's like a full page or two. That somehow depicts the seal's power being tapped.
It's a diagram.
Right? I mean, it is.
I mean, I think it's a crit.
It's a crit.
Here's the thing.
Blues and reds and yellows and greens.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's the thing is, it is essentially a diagram, like a written. It's like, well, here's how it's said to be done. Like it's the same ritual that could. The same ritual that could free the demons could, if this is correct, free the gods. The circumstances would have to be right, though. But and there is a gorgeous illustration of like men and women of different races, but all of them would appear to be psionic in nature. Like it would like it's very specific. You have to have a crazy amount of power and focus and all that. But multiple people could do this, or someone with enough power and focus to channel this, but the seal isn't that big. So it's not like you could just gather all the scions in the world and do it. There's more to it than that. The right person has to do it.
I imagine that's the only reason Thantos actually got down and read the whole thing. Is like I she saw imagine. Scion, and then she was like, "Oh, this is about me." Like that's the only reason she read that passage.
Yeah, I like that. Maybe Merrick saw something about Scion, like written like on the spine or something like that, and was like, "Oh, there's images in here. Here,
you opened it up. There was a picture of someone punching someone. You were like, "Oh yeah,
here, color this."
Thantos will kind of look from the book, like as she's reading it, especially the part about the gods being locked away, which is something that she kind of vocally said she didn't believe in earlier. She pretty much thought you guys were all crazy, but now seeing it in this obviously really old book, she kind of keeps looking up from her book at you guys and then back down to continue reading and then back up, like registering it very slowly that, shit, this might be a real thing. And then she'll probably just close the book and put it in her bag. For right now. She's not trying to be a cunt. She's just like, I'm going to sit on this for a minute.
It's also going to be apparent that reading through this, the terms, trapped keeps coming up, but it never specifically says how or where. Almost like the writer doesn't know, just not around.
Right.
Not around, missing. And it's kind of like any good conspiracy theory, there's a nugget or two. It's like, well, how do you explain this? And it's like, there's in the documented history of Theria, there have been times where the gods have intervened and things have gotten so messed up at some points that you're like, well, surely someone's going to step in and do something. It's almost like things are just happening randomly. And then you point to the Eladrin, and it's like, and they did kind of become the pinnacle of society for a really long time. Just kind of, they have a monopoly on certain things and it's just no one's stepping in ever. And there's just a nugget of...
I don't exactly remember. Were the Eladrin brought up specifically when you were explaining the whole god things? Or was that just one of the, like, oh yeah, someone locked them away?
On a living in Theria, I think. Not
No, I mean when Thantos was getting the
explanation. Oh, yes, no, the Eladrin specifically. Like, okay. That is, yeah.
Cool. So she does know, like, oh, so this kind of fills in all those blanks.
If you believe such thing, yeah.
Yeah, so she will put that in her bag for right now. So Corey called everyone over. Mm-hmm. Is Thantos just sitting there reading it as Corey is telling everyone else what's going on, or?
That's kind of how I pictured it. It's up to you
guys.
Okay,
cool. All right.
So you've kind of been handed a heaping helping of new information.
Like we kind of got our shit together, kind of paid attention to our instincts and found the right shit. I keep saying shit, but you know what I'm saying. Stuff. All right, so who? So we all sort of came back. Corey called us back, basically?
Kind of. I would think it was more of a, like, hey, guys, I think I found something, And then if you were to come over, she would show you what she found.
All right, and essentially what Corey found was, like, a seal, right? Like a picture of a seal?
Kind of. I think it was more like the history of it than, like, the actual practice of
history and
what
location.
So that's been expressed, right? Like Corey's, sort of exposition dump.
Yes, exposition dump and very excitedly. Like, finally, there's a freaking clue.
Okay,
guys,
so,
this is awesome sauce.
So you've got the history and location of the seal, like the seal that the witch mentioned, basically. I found specifics about a ritual that could unseal that seal. So it looks like we're starting to put the puzzle pieces together. If you know where it is and the history of it, and I can find out in here, and he's going to tap the book, the specifics about how to unseal the seal, we're close to understanding what we're supposed to do here.
We need to go there.
Sounds like that's what we've
gotta
been
be the next step,
for.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, if you open this seal and release both the gods and the demons, do you think the gods can seal the demons back up afterwards?
You have to understand, I don't even know that any of this is real, but the more it goes, the more it feels like there's something to it. To know if the gods could stop the demons, or if the demons could stop the gods, or if the seal would just be the end of the world as soon as it opened up. We don't know.
Well, I'm suggesting that there might be more information here. Does opening the seal destroy it? Is there another ritual that we could use to re-empower it? Like,
that's the question. That's, I mean, if we've gotten this lucky this quickly, then we've just got to keep going.
I was just asking how long technically we've been here. I know you said it's been hours, but...
I would say all total, you guys have been here for probably like 6-7 hours.
Santos is kind of listening to this with a noticeably different level of attentiveness than the other times that gods have been discussed. Though that could maybe be attributed to the fact that she's still pissed off at Merrick for not giving a stroll. And then after all of this has gone over, she's going to kind of pause for a second and go, so why do you guys even want the gods free in the first place? If this is all real.
Corey's immediately going to look to the floor, but not say anything.
If the gods have been trapped, it's kind of upon us to untrap them. And Merrick's going to be looking at Corey the whole time he says that, but not expecting Corey to look at him.
But you guys are talking about releasing demons too, and so what if they're stuck in mortal bodies? So are we. Why shouldn't they have to deal with it?
The problem is, as you saw a little bit ago, with our new friend Darmok, there's a little bit more to it. The demons are making a play for it. They're going to find a way out. There's a demon army that's being put together. What could happen here is that the demons take over and there's nothing to fight back. So the idea is, if we can bring the gods back, and if they've been trapped, then maybe they could be the ones to stop the army. Otherwise, it's going to be complete hell. Theria won't be what we've ever known it to be. Everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to be enslaved. Who knows? But the point is that if the demons can make their way out and there's nothing to stop them, then we failed. So this is our best plan, I guess.
So we're just hoping that they'll come to our rescue.
Yep.
Wouldn't it make more sense to try to get stronger than the demons ourselves?
I can't imagine how to do something like that. This isn't fighting a couple of creatures that attack us in the middle of the night. This is a hole opening up and demons spilling out of it into our domain and making it theirs. I don't know how to become more powerful than the demons, if that's the case. Do you have any ideas?
Francis is going to kind of look back to where they saw Darmok and then look back over to Merrick. He didn't seem that scary to me. I might have to roll a bluff check.
Yeah.
Is that a thing I have to do?
If you were, I barely soiled myself at all. Like, if you actually were afraid, then yeah, I would.
Okay, I'm gonna roll a little bluff check just because she was like, at the worst, her voice would shake a little bit. But let's see. Oh, she's fine. She wasn't scared. She wasn't scared no bit. Right? I assume.
Yes.
29.
You weren't scared, and that's fine. And it's because you don't know anything about what's behind that barrier. And he's going to be pointing back to wherever they saw Darmok. You don't know what that is. If you had any idea what was trapped there, and the fact that there's even a barrier between us right now, you'd be thanking your lucky stars. It's enough for him to be out by himself in the world. And it looks like he's just one of the generals in an army. So you don't have to believe a word I'm saying, and I know you don't know what I'm talking about, but this is important. And Merrick's going to, when he says this is important, he's going to look back at Corey.
Santos is going to follow his eyes, like, kind of looking at Corey expectantly, because she hasn't said very much about this, but it all seems to revolve around her.
She's going to look up and just sort of, like, give a little nod, like, freaking finally, thank you, but not saying that. And she's just going to sort of slam the book in her hands to close it, put it under her arm, and say, can we just focus on what
is the next step, please?
Thantos will kind of shrug, like, okay, I said whatever I wanted to say.
I think Merrick would just say, all right, let's spread out, look harder. We've got to find more.
So you guys are going back to pouring through books.
I think that's the only next step that Merrick would think of to do. Okay. Is like, well, we got lucky. We found a couple of bits of information that seemed really important. You know, maybe that's like, that's a sign. Like, let's keep going. Maybe there's way more that we can find.
Okay, sweet.
Can I change my hashtag filters for what I'm looking for, Jason?
Sure.
I mean, we hate you for using the term hashtags, but yeah, go ahead.
Instead of like, well, still gods, but also like identities and whereabouts, locations, things like that.
Sure. Okay. Now this feels like a really old search engine. Like maybe it's like Yahoo's kind of accurate. I'm just going to type in as many of the keywords as I can think of.
I used to do that all the time. Like, yep. When I couldn't think of the title of a book, I'd be like, girl goes to market, meets strange man with gray hair, purple caterpillar. And then it would give me the book title.
Corey's going to find something with that crit. Sort of in that same section that she found this other book, there is going to be one that kind of goes into these rituals, like the actual rituals that sealed away the demons. And again, this is more based on rumor, and it's kind of comparing the two. I imagine Corey's going to crack that one open and start pouring through it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So while she's doing that, the rest of you guys are going to be researching. I would like everyone in the vicinity to please roll a perception check.
Okay. Ding, 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 ding. Damn, I love not having shitty perception. That's so awesome. Oh shit, look at that!
Oh, let's see. Everyone except for Orden.
Hi, loser.
Everyone except for Orden is going to hear something faint. And it takes the group just a little while to kind of figure out what that is, because it's a familiar sound, but it's really out of place. And it's kind of one of those things where you hear something that's like, am I hearing that right? And everyone just sort of pauses and gets real quiet. And faintly, from the back portion of the library where you came from, where the mural was and all that, you're going to hear this melodic, carefree whistle.
Good.
And it just sort of echoes. It'll kind of go on for a little bit, then get silent, and go on for a little bit, then get silent. And it kind of goes on like this for a while.
Is it any specific tune we would recognize? Or is it just whistling?
It just seems to be absent-minded whistling, just like this person has not a care in the world.
Are there any other distinguishing characteristics? Like, is it clear that it's like a male voice?
It's or a male female voice, but that's pretty much it. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out.
I think it's the mural.
Okay, good.
Bingo. I think it's one of the skeletons. Like, they don't have lips, but they've been practicing.
Exactly. For a long, long time.
Seriously, I really like the idea of Darmok being like the cat that you like told it to stop doing something so it knocks over the water vase, just glaring at you.
I just imagine if Merrick sort of pieces it together and thinks, okay, it's fucking Darmok, he would just close his eyes like, ugh. It would not be a happy feeling.
Kaluna would stop what they're doing. I meant to say this, but I was muted, but Kaluna was sort of patrolling the area, just sort of like, they're antsy, they've been locked up for 6 hours. So they're just sort of wandering around, and then they're going to, whenever they hear that, they're going to bolt back over to where Merrick is.
So Merrick hasn't been interacting a whole lot with Kaluna because there's been so much like urgency going on. So I think he would be really glad to see Kaluna a little, like it feels like home, right? A little bit more. Just safe. And to be lighthearted, he would say, oh, I'm glad you're here. Hey, why don't you go talk to Darmok? I think he's asking for you.
Kaluna's going to smack him, like on the arm, just like, hey, fuck off. Because, like, they're clearly, like, panicking. Like, you can see the fear in their eyes. So they're just going to give him a little whack.
Orden and Merrick are going to find different passages here and there. A lot of recapped things or stories told from a different perspective or light or person. But a lot of it seems to be going over the same things. Anytime you do find any information about the seal, it's kind of scant. All of them do seem to agree on the location. The continent of Kian as far north as possible. Actually, do me a favor. Now that you've found kind of a confirmation of that, Orden and Merrick, do me a favor. Give me a history or nature on the continent of Kian and see how much you guys know about that. You already critted your thing. I'll
whatever. It's fine. I'm gonna stand right here and remove.
Trust me, you found something juicy. I'll let you. Okay. So Orden wouldn't know a ton about it, but both of you, first of all, would know that it is a frozen wasteland. Traveling, just getting there, means that you're going to have to take a ship. Just getting anywhere near the continent is difficult. You're talking terrible stormy seas, icebergs, and then just the creatures in the water. Then getting there... Merrick would know that traditionally there are no known settlements on Kian. It is so uninhabitable that no one lives there by choice. It's not a place that you go to live. But there are plenty of creatures that live there, beasts of most, you know, mostly notable, like huge, like we're talking bears and worms, things like that. White dragons, actually, they're right at home there. So it's a pretty nasty place to go.
Great, let's go. Let's just
all right. Let's call the Uber.
Right.
Corey's going to find out two very relevant bits of information to you guys. One is that apparently, and again, this is if you believe the thing about the Eladrin, if you believe the thing about the gods, all that. The demon thing is pretty much, these researchers pretty much took the demon thing as, no, that's concrete. These are where the demons are. This is, you know, but the whole gods being trapped in human bodies, or, well, being trapped, they didn't even really go into much detail beyond that, but the gods being trapped and out of the way, all of that's kind of, the science isn't in yet. But if you were to believe that, and you guys would maybe have the inside track, it is believed that there are two separate rituals. One that would release the demons, and one that would release the gods. The problem is, you can only perform one during the Blood Moon. And that does tie into something that the witch said previously. She kind of mentioned that it's a race against time.
Okay. All right.
Check. Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay, we're all... Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Got Would it. Corey relate sure. this to the rest of the party?
Okay.
I think because the last time she gathered the group, it did not work how she wanted it to, she is going to make a beeline towards Merrick specifically.
Ooh. So Merrick would just be like thumbing through these books and you know, Corey would find Merrick there.
So she is going to go up to Merrick, and without saying a word, she is going to open the book and point right at where it says... that it's either going to be the demons who get there first or us, and look directly at him and say, do you see what a race against time we are actually at? We need to go now. We need to get there first.
Merrick would take the book, you know, sort of like really wanting to study it for a second and read it like probably four or five times, right? Just over and over and over, just trying to understand and make sure he gets it. And then he's going to look at Corey and hand the book back and just say, fuck. Yeah, we gotta go. Right?
I don't see any other option. Because if they get there first, Therry is fucked. Like, there is no alternative here.
Do you want to know one more interesting tidbit about the two rituals?
No.
Okay.
Nah, I think I'm good.
No, okay. We're good. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We've got what we need, Jason.
Yeah, we just sit back. I think we've got basically everything.
Hey, I don't want to intrude. I don't want to force stuff on you.
Okay, the bit's over. You can tell us now.
Yeah, tell us.
Oh. To answer Warden's question in the chat, yes, it has to be performed during the Blood Moon.
Yep. That's what Merrick was starting to start thinking about was, right. Okay, but what if we're both doing it at the same time? And who's this other person doing it? And anyway.
Well, two interesting tidbits. One, the ritual has to be performed at the seal.
Right.
Two, the only difference between the two rituals is a simple incantation. They are exactly the same except the words spoken.
What the fuck? Okay, so that means the demons need Bree.
Or an equally powerful scion.
Yeah, Jamie, don't be okay. Rude.
Let's go collect scions.
Okay, so we only know of three scions right now anyway.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are currently possessed by a demon. So that's good.
Well, okay, so here's my thing, though, is the witch was pretty specific in wanting Bree. You know what I mean? Because Dagon was there, and she didn't really care. True. You know what I mean? Like, she was very specific about wanting Bree.
Right.
She said it had to be Bree her special. Body. So, go get Bree.
It may have to do with power. Maybe she understands that Bree, with the right, either the right training or the right focus, would be even more powerful than any other scion that she's been around or something.
So Corey is going to look very seriously at Merrick and say, I don't care what it is we decide to do, but we need to do it now.
Yeah, I'm with you. What else do we need from here? What else do we need to know? What are we missing? What puzzle piece do we need?
Her face is going to sort of soften, and she's just going to say, I don't know if it's of any help, but it was of extreme interest to me to see if and who the other gods were and where we might find them. But that might delay the bigger picture here. I don't know if it's of importance or not.
Listen, we're in a place that probably doesn't have that information, but if any place does, maybe it's worth a look. I mean, we're here. We have time to get where we need to go, but we need to rush. Rather than running out of here right this second, why don't we just see if there's anything else we can find?
She's gonna nod, like, sort of like, okay, she's getting calmed down, you know, head on her shoulders is coming back. Okay, we'll stay, we'll do some more research, but I don't think we should stay more than a day.
No, we'll find everything else we can find. We'll find any other puzzle pieces that we can possibly find to put this together. But I was going to say when the sun rises, you know, we'll start getting our stuff together. But I don't even know what time of day it is anymore. But
Does we'll Kaluna have ourselves. An internal clock that they can check?
You know what? Give me a nature check. Whatever. Let's try.
I was gonna say that's actually kind of makes sense because there are a lot of different plants that do have.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
27.
I would say yes. We're gonna make that canon.
I like it.
I love it, especially since I have this idea in my head that Kaluna like gets really really tired at night. Like they can't handle it. They're like, "There's no sun. We gotta sleep, guys."
I would say right now it's getting on evening, and Kaluna would know that.
Okay. Kaluna is part cactus.
Yeah, Kaluna will sort of like rub at their eyes a little bit, but they won't say anything. They'll just sort of.
Okay, so we've got evening. We're gonna get tired. We're gonna need to get some rest. We can take turns, but as long as we get a little bit of rest at some point, we could start up after that a little bit in the morning. Time and do a little bit more research just with fresh eyes, and then we can take off, and we got to make a plan. Is that okay? Is that fair?
That sounds fine with me, just as long as we actually follow through. I don't know if everyone in the group is on board.
I know I'm on board, and I know Kaluna's on board. I don't know about our newest friends, but I can't see why they're not with us. So I know this is urgent. I know this is essential. And I'm with you. And I get it. So let's make it happen. Let's do everything we can to find whatever information we can, anything else in this library while we're here, because hell if I'm ever coming back here.
Could everyone in the party do me a favor and roll an intelligence check?
Intelligence?
Ugh. Kai's so super smart. Honestly.
I'm not that smart. I'm tired.
Derek's about a 9.
Something is going to occur to Thantos.
So Thantos, like, is kind of pacing around, like, kind of doing what Kaluna's doing now. Like, she's had enough of the books, she's bored, so she's just pacing, and she looks kind of antsy and annoyed. Then she's going to kind of look over to Cori and approach. She's going to ask, so, what do you have to do with all of this?
She's going to sort of look matter-of-factly back at Thantos and just say, I just have an interest. Like, sort of just passing it off.
Which is true. It's not the whole truth.
I think we have a rule about that.
Yeah, it's called the Marcus Gambit.
So what do I do? Do I have to roll a...
That's a bluff. I'm sorry.
Bluff check?
Yeah.
1 second, let me see my passive. My passive perception, I believe, is 29, so...
This would be passive insight.
Oh, good.
Passive insight. 24.
Ah, damn it!
Fucking liar!
But you can only barely tell I'm lying.
Right. Can't really read. Like, your face is really high, so, like, I have to squint.
You just see my chin.
Actually, I mean, I've seen Corey's art. That's not what...
Something tells me your breasts are lying, madam.
They jiggle when I'm lying.
And all the other time. Okay, so you're clearly lying.
Not clearly, okay. I didn't botch that, right?
No.
No, I'm just really insightful. I like to think it comes from Thantos thinking everyone's lying all the time anyway. So she'll kind of just shrug. Like, she doesn't really care. She would just wanted to see if you'd be honest, and now she knows. So, do you know when the next blood moon is? At all?
I want to say that the witch said we had 3 months. Is that correct?
She was.
But I don't know how long it's been since then.
That's the thing. She was very loose about the time. She said okay. You have less than 3 months.
And at this point, it would be still less than 3 months, not less than 2 months. It hasn't been that long, I don't think.
Well, again,
I mean, it's been a bit.
Yeah, it's been a bit, but it's to you guys, it's been a little over a week.
I mean, would I be able to roll a nature check to see if I do know what a blood moon is and when it would be?
Yes, that's actually
fair. I thought you were about to argue, like, can I roll a nature check to replace that bluff?
Trees are made of lies, so I could.
You hide behind Kaluna.
Oh, come on.
Aww.
Let's see. How old is Cori?
Let me figure that out. Well, it doesn't say in here.
Less than 30.
Oh, yeah, definitely. She's,
yeah,
she's...
Cori wouldn't have been around for the last blood moon, so there would be... Would not. So, nope.
Okay.
You want to phone a friend?
Yeah, I was going to say, ask your friend. Be like, hey, other nature...
Oh, that's a great idea.
I was about to say, like, every insult, and then I was like, wait. I'm not that close.
Hey, Bushback, get over here.
I almost said that other nature bitch, and I was like, maybe I shouldn't say that.
Wow.
The other nature birch. Hey!
Oh. And I think it's a good time to stop for the night, everybody.
I just hurt my arm from clapping on it. Ow.
That's a good time to stop DNR.
Yeah, I think we're done.
Shut it down.
I'm going to go get a job in a factory. I'll see you guys later.
All they make in California is guacamole, so...
Almonds and guacamole.
And fire.
That's it.
Could work at a fire factory.
Fire. Yeah, that's
I could work at a fire factory.
Cori is going to, realizing that she doesn't know what technically a blood moon is, she's just sort of been going off what the witch says, she's going to
ask Kaluna, Kaluna, have you or any of your kind heard of the Blood Moon, and would you be able to know when the next one's going to be?
Kaluna will put a finger to their chin. No.
Definitely not.
The Blood Moon evades us all.
Can I just say that I'm really shocked that no one thought to, like, check into this? It's such a crucial part of the
I just thought it was, like, a thing that people knew about. You know, yeah, like, something Merrick, that they throw parties for. Like, woo,
Merrick Blood suggests, Moon. Merrick suggests to the party that we all go search for books about the Blood Moon.
And when it is.
And okay. When it is. And how to calculate when the next one will be. Go. 1, 2, 3, go.
I'm trying to figure out when your parents' birthday is.
May I roll a perception to see if I knew before I even asked Corey?
Oh, you little shit.
May I?
Wait. A perception to know...
A nature to know if I knew when the next Blood Moon was and was just seeing if they knew.
I'll like allow asshole. It. Wait, the...
Oh!
Fucker. Fucking asshole.
What pact with the devil did you make to get these dice rolls tonight?
I don't know. I'm just going to keep enjoying it.
Like, seriously, this is the best you've ever rolled consecutively.
And the best part is, Thantros isn't intellectual at all. Like, that's the opposite.
No. Like,
but she definitely is the type who would be an asshole and know something and ask someone else if they knew.
Like, do you ever... Okay, like, do you remember when, like, anytime Kaluna just knows a thing, it's just, like, I picture...
Where the fuck did you get that from?
Right! That's... It's
I don't know, I saw a picture.
I was flipping through a magazine one day, and I just figured out. So, after Merrick is like, everyone look for when the Blood Moon is, Thantos will kind of be like, I know when it is, in case anyone cares.
You just kind of raise it. Yeah, that nasally...
Corey is going to roll her eyes so hard.
Kaluna is going to, like, just glare at Thantos like, you motherfucker.
Nature's our thing. You stay off the west side.
Embarrassing in front of my friends.
Nobody fucks with me and my clique.
Actually, Thantos would just so happen to know about the Blood Moon cycle-wise, like when the next one would be coming up. The next full moon, where the Blood Moon would come in, that's actually in the month of Rengwei, which is, from the date you guys are in now, you have less than 2 months.
Oh, great.
It's the 4th. The 4th of Rengwei. And that would be just a couple of days after the first day of winter in Theria.
Oh, good. So it'll be a little chilly when we get there.
Winter is coming.
Yes.
When we get to the winter wonderland, it'll be extra cold.
Yes. Right. A frozen wasteland in winter. That's smart.
That sounds lovely. Oh,
you know what the good news is, though? It's going to be really cheap to get a ship at this time of year. So we'll be in good shape.
I can hunt for furs for us.
I just realized we keep going to Kaluna's personal hells.
Yeah. It's like,
because Kaluna hates everything.
Hi, I'm Merrick. Nice to meet you. Let me take you on a tour of everything you despise and hate and really, really want to die because of.
It's been so great so far, but now it's like, hey, we're going to go underground all day. Oh, we need to go to an Arctic hellhole.
Don't worry, we'll fly into the air next. We'll get to Umaniro.
Oh right. Yeah, we'll hang out on the floating city. That's safe.
All right, so Thantos will kind of just smugly say that after everyone's starting to, like, walk away to find the right book. She'll just be like, dumbasses.
Corey's not even going to turn around. She's just going to continue to go look for books. She's going to stop, hear what you have to say, roll her eyes, and continue to look.
Like, there's no possible way that's accurate.
You right, fucking
like, fuck you.
It's like this You're fucking like, what, kid. 12? Yeah, this kid walks in here.
You're like, what, 12 is one of my favorite things to say. And one's younger than me. All right, so how long does it take Corey to find out that Thantos is right? Because Thantos will be staring directly at her.
Just watching her the whole time, standing at
this
her shoulder.
This is a lot like hey, our real life something? Relationship, in case anyone's wondering.
I think they've heard you both on the show enough to know. Like, this isn't a revelation.
Like, Santa's gonna cross her arms and follow Corey to find the book.
Oh, yeah, let's go find it.
Yeah.
Everyone do me a favor, roll a perception check.
I love perception checks.
Hey, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Hot damn!
Oh, crap. I don't think I've been with the group at this point, because this conversation happened with Merrick.
Oh, come on.
Corey specifically stated she wasn't calling a gathering of people. So do you want me to make this perception check or not?
Right, because what happened was Corey and Merrick were talking, and then they mm-hmm. separated, and then Phantos mm-hmm. approached Corey. Mm-hmm. Corey then called out to Kaluna.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So well, Kaluna was with Merrick.
Kaluna was with Merrick anyway, so technically Odin was
That's
there.
The thing. The thing about the library is unless you're whispering, like, you're going to hear that there's a conversation going on.
Right.
And being as how you're all researching, and then there's kind of a gathering, I mean, you'd probably pieced together. It's like someone found something at some point. I just assumed you walked over there.
Right. Go ahead. Sorry.
If you wanna make a canon that you didn't, that's totally fine.
I think that I'm completely like Morden is my goal at this point.
Gotcha.
So I don't think I've left this section.
Gotcha. Totally. Okay. So you go ahead and roll a perception for a completely different thing.
Okay.
Okay. What the fuck, Thantos? Okay.
She's hacked the table.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Hmm?
Merrick and Thantos are both going to find the same book at the same time.
Their hands touch like in a rom-com.
That's not what's relevant here.
Oh, my God, you read Hemingway, too? That means we're meant for each other.
This is so relevant. We all saw this coming. I mean, let's be honest. Right.
Let's
an epic romance.
Right.
Between Merrick and this 14-year-old.
She can braid your mustache.
As if that doesn't already happen. Come on.
To be honest, between the two, Merrick would know how to braid, Thantos would not.
That's probably true. I can imagine, though, that Kaluna has braided.
Definitely one of their favorite pastimes is braiding the mustache.
While he sleeps.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right, the book.
Book.
Thantos and Merrick are going to find this book at the same time. And the reason that's relevant is that, being as how the Blood Moon specifically ties into this entire thing, there is an entire book charting the cycles of the Blood Moon for thousands of years to come. Now, finding the specific date and page, it's going to become very evident that Thantos was indeed correct.
Bullshit.
So, not only was Thantos correct, but she found the book before Corey? If a fistfight were to occur, I'd understand.
Santos is going to take the book away from Merrick, walk over to Corey, and point to the section.
Okay, wait, perfect. Corey is going to be like, oh, can I see that for a second? And she's going to take the book and she's going to put it on the highest shelf. And just be like, thanks, and sort of like clap her hands and walk away.
I don't need it anymore. I proved I was right. That's actually what Thantos is going to mumble as she follows behind.
It's so weird when our real sisterhood comes out right. into roleplay.
Because that is exactly what would have happened in real life if we were in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Except I'm actually taller than Jamie.
I think you are. I'm not going to debate that.
Yeah, I'm like half an inch taller than Jamie.
Okay, so how's it going with Orden and Morden?
Orden and Morden.
Oh, that's a children's television workshop program we have to pitch.
Yes.
Orden and Morden. Ba, ba, da,
ba. Wait, can it not be a children's program? Can it be like an adult swim program, like Moral Oral? I feel like that would be better.
Definitely a Patreon show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we lost Cooking Up with Merrick, technically. I mean, but now we need a new show to pitch.
Yeah, no, that's the next thing.
I'm still voting for fucking Kaluna and Darmok have weird conversations for some reason.
I'm down for a Kaluna talk show.
Yeah.
It'd be like Bert and Ernie, they just live together for no reason. The problem is with the 18 that Orden rolled, there's not really going to be too much like new information about Orden, just a breakdown of, you know, who the god is, all stuff that Orden would kind of know already. It's not, there's not really a lot of relevant new information out there. The only other notable thing is the whole God's Trap theory. It kind of plays, it's one of those, like, the conspiracy theory thing where it's like, there's a nugget of truth. It's like, how come there hasn't been any new legendary weapons created? How come there hasn't been any new, like, weapons supposedly touched by the gods type of thing? And it's, explain that! Like, that kind of thing.
Right.
But that's pretty much the only information that Orden's going to find.
Okay. He will keep at it. He is persistent.
I don't know. I think at some point Merrick would want to get back to the central tables and, you know, push everything out of the way if there's stuff on the table and put the relevant tomes and the relevant books, you know, sort of all in the same place and start trying to collect all of this together in one place to see, I don't know, if they could carry it with them or if he's going to have to actually rip parts out of books to make sure that they keep this information with them.
Could you imagine if Jazzia was here? Oh, man.
She'd be so pissed.
She'd be so mad.
Don't tell Mom.
I feel like that makes the most sense. I think Merrick would be like, ugh, and probably say out loud, like, I'm so sorry, Jedzia. And he would rip out the relevant sections.
Wait. I'm a big lady. Can I just carry them in my sack?
Hey guys, I mean, let's just put them in Corey's sack.
I feel like I could carry a couple books.
That's fine. I just don't know how much, you know, I don't know what the volume of this is.
Right. I know one is really big.
Yeah. A lot of these
What's
books...
the volume of Corey's sack?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, Corey, I didn't realize you had a sack, but that's really interesting.
Yeah, I think I can handle it because it's pretty large, if you know what I'm saying.
You know that's not a thing guys brag about, right?
I honestly feel like a 12-year-old.
Like, okay.
Tiny stick.
Okay.
I feel like there's some, like, okay, like, Bree's impression of masturbation is always very angry. I just want to, like, debunk a couple of rumors. That's not...
Okay.
What's wrong with that? I don't understand.
Not to completely derail everything that we're doing with playing D&D and everything, but that has never made sense to me because of the fact that with women, men find the boobsicles attractive, which is because of reproduction and all that crazy stuff. So why don't people find the testicles attractive? Because that's all reproductive.
Have you seen a ball sack?
I'm just saying, if in our DNA it's to procreate, then people should find the testicles more attractive.
Testicles.
But that's
not genetic.
I just want to say that not all guys find breasts attractive, like big boobs attractive. That's not always
that is true.
But the plumpness does matter. And if there were any plumpness in the testicle area, I'm sure that's something, but there is none usually.
Right. That's
I don't know.
If there is, there's a problem.
I mean, maybe it's just me. I find them very fun.
I just want to turn them off with a switch.
Do you think they twitch a little bit like Frankenstein's monster?
Does it have like turning on a generator type noise, like brrr, if you flip the switch.
I'm full
Do they
of
need
regret.
Time to like spin up?
That
like, is there like
a lawnmower?
Like, you know, can you give me like 30 minutes? I just turned the testicles on. They gotta have time to
yeah, sorry,
gotta warm up.
Yeah. You'll be able to tell.
Oh my god! This, you know, the thing is, the walls are thin enough that I know Elle is hearing half of this conversation. Like, she's hearing all that. She's going to think this is what the show is about, and I have to explain that later.
It's not.
I don't know.
I'm pretty
anymore.
Sure it is.
Eric's oh, you'll have to listen. You'll have
Eric's
to listen.
Eric's going
to
leave.
Oh my gosh, guys! We are in the biggest library ever. Is there a Therian equivalent Karma Sutra?
Oh my god!
I think you're in the wrong library because any. Like, demonically brand Kama Sutra you're gonna find is...
Jason.
But there is one, is what you're saying.
I mean, look, there's...
You have to listen to Living in Theria.
Yeah, well, I had to describe to a cast member one time, like, they wanted to have sex with an orc. I had to explain to them, any loving you're gonna get from an orc, you're not gonna want. Same kind of thing with demons.
Okay. For real, though. Okay. Merrick would try to put all those books together, and... would start thinking, like, do I need to rip these things out? If I don't know if he's having a discussion with anybody. Is anybody else around? Is Corey there to say, like, no, I can carry this shit?
I would be there. If you are bringing all of the essential books,
yeah.
two of which she is carrying,
yeah. oh, right.
yes, good she point. Will be there.
Okay, cool. Well, then I think the conversation would be like, how are we going to carry all this stuff? But it's not that we have to. It's just that shouldn't we keep this stuff with us to make sure that we understand what we're doing? Or should we trust our memories?
I say we bring it with us. There's no saying, like, if we continue to read through what context we can take later, I'm yeah. willing to carry them if no one else is.
Okay. I mean, we can split them up between us all. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't carrying stuff we didn't need. That's great. Mm-hmm. Carry whatever you can and we'll split it up.
Okay.
Thank you.
No probs. I just don't want later to be like, oh, hey, this thing that we didn't know was a thing yeah. was in that book that we left at the library, you know? Right.
The librarian is going to be so pissed, though, if we don't bring these back. What else do we need to know? Is there anything left on our list? Like, what do we need to be able to figure out? We know where to go. We know when to go. And basically, it's now.
yeah.
We've got the ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, here's a question, Jason. You did say that Merrick found the ritual specifics to unseal the seal. Is it true that Corey found more? I mean, she found out that it's the same ritual, that there are two separate rituals, right?
Mm-hmm.
But does that mean that we have both rituals?
That's the thing, that you found out that there are two separate rituals. The one for the demons is actually right there. Because that is not common knowledge, but I mean, to these people, it's like, well, of course they'd have that. The one for the gods is actually, there are many people here in that used to live here that kind of don't believe any of that. It's more of a conspiracy theory. So the exact words aren't there, but it is pretty much, okay, yes, that is the same ritual, just different words are spoken. That is as much as they know. They don't know the words.
So we don't even have... If we wanted to release the gods, we don't even have the way to do that. We know roughly mm-hmm. what to do, but we couldn't do it even if we had all the power and could teleport ourselves to the seal and have no problem. We couldn't do it. Is that?
That it, currently we as a party cannot. However, I believe from when we went to the witch, the plan was to gather information, figure out what we could do.
Mm-hmm.
Then, if we cannot come up with another way that doesn't involve breaking the seal and destroying all of Theria, we would return to her.
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if this is what everyone was planning on doing, but we would return to her at that point so that we could do whatever ritual it was that she needed to do to release the gods. But now that I'm knowing that there are two different spells to do this, and they're only one phrase or so off, I'm a little uncomfortable with letting her do it. If we can do it, that would be way better. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Am I babbling?
No, it's like, if I had the keys, both of those keys myself, I would trust myself to do it, but I don't trust the witch further than I can throw her.
I think that is where our characters separate.
Like physically, like you, Corey.
Physically,
walks away.
Like oh well, you go okay, over goodbye. There then.
Everyone in the party, do me a favor. Roll a perception check.
I'm on a roll with the nines today.
Yeah.
Okay, so everyone in the party, awesome. Everyone in the party is going to hear a noise. This is unlike the noise that you've been hearing constantly, by the way, in the back, off and on, just that melodic whistling every once in a while. That is going to cease, but a new noise is going to sort of erupt out of nowhere. And it's going to sound like someone grabbing the pages of a book and, you know, flipping through it really quickly or something. And then after a couple of seconds, it's going to become clear that it's fluttering, like the flapping of wings. And then sort of bursting onto the scene is going to be a white raven, and it is going to circle the party in the air, these pretty high vaulted ceilings in this library. And then it is going to flutter down and come to rest on Corey's bracer.
Hey.
Cool, cool.
Yeah.
Kalina is going to be delighted to see something new from the outside.
Because again,
the sky is like
the doors are
just
open.
Talk to the bird. Like, hey, what's it like out there?
It's been half a day. Calm down.
It's been 20 years.
Did you see the sun today?
I mean, birds are made of trees, so.
That's going to be a new one, isn't it? I feel like that one's going to stick.
I
like it.
Okay.
It does appear to have a note attached to it.
Okay. At first, Corey's going to be like super surprised, and then she's going to remember like, oh yeah, that's a thing that can happen.
It's a white raven. Who could have sent it?
And she's going to sort of look around at the party with her arm extended out and just sort of carefully take out the note and read it.
Can Kaluna pet the bird while she reads the note?
Ooh, herself. Corey is going to read through this letter, and her face is obviously going to start to not contort, but it's she's getting more upset as she reads through the letter, and she's not getting sad, but angry. And immediately she is going to crumple up the note, stuff it in her pocket, and say out loud, I'm leaving now. If anyone is going to follow me, the opportunity lies here. And she's going to start walking out.
Jesus.
Kaluna's going to pull the little pig that they carved and sort of run after her and sort of like just sort of put it in her hand as she goes.
She'll take a minute to hold it. she'll hold it in her hands and look at you and be like, thank you sincerely, nature sister. Or, I don't know, nature sibling.
Nature buddy.
nature buddy. Yeah.
Nature they.
Nature they. But she's going to continue to walk out. Like, slowly letting go, but keeping the little figurine. Very determined.
Santos is just going to kind of look over at Merrick, like, what now, boss? Like, whatever.
Seriously,
you
Merrick
want,
is like what the he's going to run after
you
it.
You have all the books!
Yeah, wait, yeah. First of all,
and the thing!
What thing?
The bird thing.
Oh. Wait, Corey. First of all, you're taking the books away, and the second, what's going on? What happened? What's happening? And where are you going?
Bree is in danger, and she's going to sort of pull out the crumpled piece of paper and say, this was her goodbye letter. She is going to die, and that is my primary goal, is to keep her alive. I need to go get her. And she's just going to bluntly continue walking out. Like, that is all she is focused on.
Does she leave the books?
I don't think she
did
would.
Did she hand over the note?
She handed over the
she
note.
She could just be lying, like it's just like, BRB, lol. And
I mean,
I invited you guys to come, but she is leaving now.
Yeah,
Leave the note with the party?
Yeah, she probably, when Merrick chases after her, she probably, like, when she takes out the crumpled piece of paper and says, this is her goodbye letter, she'll, like, throw it into his hand and then turn around and continue walking.
He'd keep it, but he wouldn't even be reading it. He's flipping out. Like, wait. No, Corey, the books, we at least need the books.
She's gonna stop but not turn around. She wants those books too. Okay, she is going to slowly pan around to Merrick and say, I will give you a fair trade. All of these books for the scroll.
No.
Can Dude, Santos Bree hear could that? Be dead. She doesn't know.
Can Santos hear that, though?
Is Corey making an effort to whisper?
I would say that this is intended just for Merrick.
Because
he's the only one who chased after her.
So, in perception check?
Oh my god.
I'm going to say it would have to be a high one.
God damn it, the first time I wanted a high roll.
So this is let's canonically let's describe this scene. Merrick is the one who chased after Corey. Corey is a distance away from the party. The party knows that Corey is trying to leave. Merrick is the closest one to her, and Corey just offered to trade the books for the scroll.
Is there any way to know what books Corey has? Would it be the ones that Corey particularly found? Or would it...
I think it was the one that you guys... the ones that you guys deemed relevant.
Well, I just didn't know if we split them up or if Corey's got everything.
The way it sounded was Corey was the one lugging the books. All the ones that you deemed relevant.
God dang it. I don't know how long the note is, but Merrick would want to just, like...
Skim it
to try to get an idea if he felt like there's a good chance that Bree is dead.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. Like, yeah. Like if this is like a goodbye note and it's like, I'm going to, by the time you read this.
Mm-hmm.
Is the bird still there? This is actually an important question. I'm not just fixated. I am fixated on the bird, but it is important.
The raven would be like, yeah, sticking with Corey, like kind of hopped up on her shoulder.
I think as Merrick is like reading over the note, Kaluna would be like, shit, we need the thing so we can talk to each other. So they'd sort of like inch over. They're not going to interfere. They don't care about the scroll, but they're going to sort of like inch over and sort of like, before you go, can we get the thing? And they're going to sort of point at their wrist.
And as Merrick is considering the offer, Corey's going to look towards Kaluna and sort of give a warm smile and hold up the figurine that Kaluna just gave her. And she's going to say, another fair trade. And she'll take off the a bracelet. It's not a bracelet.
Bracer.
Thank you. And hand it to Kaluna.
Kaluna will take it and sort of swap out one of the ones they're already wearing for it. Fashion.
And she is going to look towards Merrick again with a very serious look on her face and say, this is fair. All of the information is in here. The note says it all.
I don't see anything here that says anything about her even being in real danger. It sounds like I likely won't be around when you get back doesn't mean something bad's happened. She's been in far worse danger than this.
A town is in ruins. An entire town is in ruins. She got through that and now thinks she will not make it out of whatever it is she is going to take care of. I made a promise that I would make sure she stays alive, and I intend to keep that promise.
Kaluna's eyes are going to widen when she says that town is in ruins. And they're going to kind of look over at Merrick like,
Okay.
If I get to her and she's okay, I'll send a raven.
But you keep the scroll?
I'll send the scroll back. I won't need it at that point.
All right. Merrick will just take his backpack off and just, like, he gets it. And he'll just take out the scroll and he'll just take it over to Corey and say, I care about her too. And then he's just going to hand it directly over.
I think as he's handing it to her, like, you know how sometimes two people grab onto one thing, but the other person doesn't let go. She's just going to say, I know you do. And that's why I'm doing this. And she's going to take off her sack with all of the books and hand it over to him.
I don't think Merrick would say anything else. I think he would just nod. Like I get it. Be safe.
She'll sort of like back out and just give a like a really disheartened wave and continue on out of the library.
Guys, I think it's probably a good time for us to stop for the night.
Shit, dude.
Shit, dude. I'm simultaneously glad and very upset that Kaluna can't read.
Hi, everybody. This is Jamie from Group 3. I hope you really enjoyed that episode. If you did and you want to get a little bit more involved, why don't you go take a peek at the Dungeons & Reminisce website. That's dandrpodcast.com. We've got the official forums on there, the wiki. You can access our Patreon on there, or you can just go to patreon.com/dandr. Thanks so much. Bye.